Giants.com alongside Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Meadows. So glad you could join us with you for the next 60 minutes as we get you set for Giants-Cowboys. Sunday Night Football, the season has finally arrived. Yeah. We'll get into the matchup. We'll get into the injury report and everything else related to the New York Giants. Plus, we will get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. You can also reach out to us on Twitter, hashtag GiantsChat. Jeff, how's everything?
Well, it's good. It's a very... somber day, not only around here, but just this 9/11. And, it's just one of those days we all look back on. And, I wanted to just mention our condolences to all the families and all the first responders and everybody that what they went through on that 9/11. It's we want to always remember those people. And wanted to start the show off by saying thanks to all the people and just keep everybody in their prayers. And but other than that, Lance, here we go, man. We got the big, it's finally here. The real games start,
absolutely.
As they say, the live bullets. And I do remember coming out of preseason when I was playing. This is an exciting time because of two things. Number one, you know that all the hard work you put in during the preseason is now going to pay off, hopefully. And as a player, you know that you go from making $1,000 a week in preseason to getting those paychecks. So that's a lot of fun. But more importantly, this Giants team has got a huge task ahead of them this week going into Dallas. Dallas week has always been a special one in preparation for those guys. It's kind of a little heated rivalry, but national TV, 8:30 Sunday night, and should be a good one. I mean, the NFL season started off last night with a bang, and I'll tell you what, and we won't want to talk too much about Tom Brady, but I will tell you, watching that game last night, pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to me how the New England Patriots can go out there and find these players that we've never heard of.
Deion Lewis.
I mean, and just come out and play they are. And, Coach Belichick is just do your job. That's what the NFL is all about. I'm telling you right now, if every guy just does their job, everything will be good. And this Giants team, they just need to do their job and concentrate on what they have to do, stick to their game plan, understand that things are going to happen in a big-time game. The young guys that are going to go into Dallas Stadium on a primetime stage, they're going to understand how loud it gets there. And guys like Eric Flowers, the rookies that are starting, Landon Collins. So I remember my first game as a rookie. You're nervous. And
way back in the day.
Way back in the game day. But it's a nervous feeling. But as soon as the first couple series, you kind of settle down. And then you realize, I'm just playing football, and this is what I'm here to do. So it's exciting. I know the Giants fans are we all are kind of excited to see what this team is going to bring to us, because we didn't see much in preseason, as you all know. And we're just hoping that on both sides of the ball and special teams that they can go out and play a good game and come out with a win.
In terms of the injury report yesterday, Victor Cruz didn't practice, John Beeson didn't practice, and O.O. Odighizuwa didn't practice. O.O. is dealing with a foot injury. He said it was just a precautionary holdout, shouldn't be anything to worry about come Sunday. John Beeson felt a little soreness in the knee. He's also not overly concerned. Victor Cruz, though, Jeff, still out with that calf injury. Tom Coughlin not ruling him out. We should know more later today, but it appears as if he may not be ready to go this weekend.
Well, yeah, and that's big. I mean, but I think one of the reasons why you saw Preston Parker make this club is because of his experience at that slot position, not to mention his experience on special teams and returning and things like that. But so obviously if Victor cannot go, Preston Parker will be in there at the slot. The Giants are going to play three games in 12 days. So when you look at the health of Victor Cruz and wanting him to, make this Dallas game, In hindsight, you got to say to yourself, listen, let's see how it goes. And you don't want to go out there and have him unless he's 100% in the game and sacrifice, two or three more going forward. Because as a pro, three games in 12 days that's a lot. And so the health of these players and maybe this new schedule that the Giants are working on, as far as preparation, today is a little bit different than it's always been in the past on a Friday. They're doing things a little bit different. Maybe it can help with the health status of some of these guys like Victor Cruz.
Well, you're referring to what Tom Coughlin's been saying, GPS week. And this is what they did, Jeff, leading into that Jets preseason game where they didn't practice on Friday. They had six different stations. Mm-hmm. Each player chose two, massages, boots, and so
it's
forth,
all good,
just to recover. And John Beeson mentioned that it's extremely beneficial for somebody like him. However, then they're going to practice, though, on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever experienced something like that where you go through a practice the day before the game?
I did. When I was in Seattle with Holmgren, we didn't have, you know, what they're dictating a spa day, which I think is a horrible name, by the way.
Well, that's the media coin
phrase. I know. It's not a spa day. There's preparation here. There's, you know, they do have a walkthrough today, which is a practice, but it's not really a practice. But when I was in Seattle, our Saturdays were very high up tempo. We had a special teams period that was very, very up tempo. We were in shells, which normally on Saturdays you're not. You're usually out there in a ball cap or whatever. The Giants will be in shells tomorrow, so that's part of their new program. But you have to kind of wrap your head around it, and players in the National Football League are creatures of habit. So this is going to be the way it is, and they're going to have to learn this is the way that every week is going to – it's going to take a little bit of time for these guys to get used to this. But once they do, it'll be fine. I actually kind of like the idea – because I know that later in my career, my Fridays were like a spa day. I was at, you know, I did. I went to massage and chiropractic and doing all the things that these guys are doing today. It helps your recovery going into 2 days before the game. And so, and to get a little bit of a sweat and get that lactic acid tomorrow with an up tempo, I think it helps. And, you know, anything to get this ball rolling, because we know in the last couple of years how this season has started off. Coach Coughlin is trying to do something different. Hopefully they can start out with a 1-0 rather than an 0-1 with this new system.
And he got some positive feedback from the players after they experimented with that during the Jets week.
Good, so and that's what he wanted. Good. Remember,
correct.
He said,
that's
I got to
exactly
see how this is go. And so, you know, it's the way the game is played today. It's the technology. It's the GPS. It's all that stuff that goes into it. And, you know, if you're old school, it's not going to make sense to you. And I'm sure that Tom Coughlin at some point in time when he's sitting in his office is sitting there going, this doesn't make sense. However, you know, the younger generation of players, a lot in the college, they're doing a lot of this stuff. In the off season, they're doing these kinds of things. So it's the evolution of the game as far as that goes. And I think they have to sooner or later understand that this is just the way it's going to be.
Well, the NFL has essentially become a science to a certain degree.
It is.
Because between what Chip Kelly has implemented with the Eagles and even here with the Giants, the music during practice, just mixing things up. And you're right. This is not something that Tom Coughlin may have adopted back in the day.
No.
But he's realizing, hey, the game has changed. The game has evolved, as you mentioned. So therefore, in order to keep up with the times, sometimes we need to reevaluate how we've done things over the last few years.
And, you know, the game is young. I mean, this team is young. All these teams. So these guys are there. This is the way that they have been brought up, if you will, doing the music thing and all this other stuff. So you have to adapt and you improvise and adjust. I and A, baby. That's what we've always said. And that's what they're doing here. And we'll see how it goes. But it's exciting. You know, the start of the NFL season is good. They've got a new program here and they're going to need to carry it over and see if it works.
And we will get into their opponent as we move along here on the show. We'll preview the Cowboys a little bit, some of the personnel matchups to keep close tabs on as we take you along here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Right now, though, we want to get to the phone lines at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat, to get us going here on Friday's edition of BBKL. Joe is in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's happening?
Hey, great to talk to you guys. To follow up a minute on what you were talking about, these practices, and even I see the Eagles a lot because I'm here in this area, and they even, I think, right after their game, like their game, say they played Sunday, Monday, they have a full practice. You know, it's crazy. It's going. So I want to mention, too, I don't know, I was listening to this Dallas talk show and everything, and some of their
shame on you.
That was the first mistake you made, Joe. But anyway, continue.
Well, I just want to give a tip if it might help or not. You know what I mean? They talked about their offense and the defense, and the big thing they were concerned on offense maybe was Beckham. And, you know, they said, like, you know, their cornerbacks are basically usually in their defense going to stay on their side, and that they're worried about Carr, that he's slow, and they said that, you know, he won't get beat deep, he'll back up. But he said any time he plays, you know, any of their receivers – anybody that crosses the field, he's way behind them. So
good.
If that can help out, pass that on. You know what I mean? So
well, you know, you look at what the Giants were trying. They were trying to get the ball down the field all preseason, and they didn't do a very good job at it. The timing was off. So hopefully that maybe in their game plan this week is trying to get behind Carr and get, you know, get some big scores. Because you know what? What's going to happen here, Joe, is you know it. Odell Beckham is definitely going to have his hands full because people are going to pay attention to him. But we've said it even coming out of last year at how big of a year that Reuben Randle can have because nobody's going to be really paying attention to him.
Yeah, well, they said, too, you know what I mean, if they have to, you know, at first get away as much as you can, jam them up there, you know, even if you get a penalty to hold them a couple times, whatever you can do to knock them off his game. But, I mean, if passing on to them, you know, make sure he crosses the field because they don't want him to get beat. And I was just looking at this game here compared to the Super Bowl. I think that was 25 we won with Parcells when we played the Bills. You know, they had that great offense and everything. He says, we're going to win this game or something, but we might have to give up 150 yards rushing. Remember, at times Belichick was the coordinator. They even had two guys just up on the defensive line. So I think the key is we got to be we can't have turnovers and
no, especially on the road
and penalties. We got to control that. So
spoken like a true coach. You sound like Coach Coughlin. No penalties.
Well,
no turnovers.
You got to be whatever it is, and I think we have the players, we can stay in the game there. But we got to be disciplined no matter what it is. We only have to stop them once, hold them the field goals, you know, and we can't turn the ball over. So,
well, it's imperative.
Joe.
It's imperative.
Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much.
It's imperative that when you go on the road that you do not turn the ball over. Okay, that's rule number one because Tom Coughlin is a big stats guy on Fridays. In the team meeting, he would go over all the important statistics. And I mean, after playing for him for 7 years, 6 years, excuse me, those Friday meetings, he drilled it in your head on Friday on the road. You don't turn the ball over because when you turn the ball over on the road, it's something like you lose. If you lose the turnover battle on the road, you lose 80% of your games. So that's the first thing. The second thing is being smart and penalties. Now, it's going to be loud there. You look at Eric Flowers, rookie, starting at that left tackle position, which is far away from the center. They're going to have to communicate good with him and get him on the same page because I'll never forget the time that we went into Seattle. Luke Pettigrew had five offsides penalties in the first half. So, you know, they got to combat that and play well and stay out of trouble with those flags.
Especially since he's going to be going up against the veteran Jeremy Mincy. I'm sure Dallas is going to move and mix and match players around because they do have a lot of depth on the D-line, but
yep.
He is going to go up against an established veteran, not necessarily a rookie who just also is entering the NFL.
And they got to get him some help out there. You know, I mean, it'll be a good game. And, you know, from the game plan perspective for the Cowboys, if I'm the Cowboys, I'm running the football. I mean, why not? Continue what they did last year.
Yeah.
Control the clock, make first downs. And, you know, pop in a big play here and there because they certainly have it with Dez Bryant and those guys. And, you know, so defensively for the Giants, they got to be expecting that the Cowboys are going to come out and try to pound the football.
In my studies for this game, speaking of the running game,
which
I
are always very deep, by the way. I mean,
yes,
Lance is proficient in study, that's for sure.
Certainly appreciate that. Cowboys running game last season, Jeff, dictated wins and losses. When they had at least 100 rushing yards, they were 12-2. This is the team, not just DeMarco Murray.
Sure.
Under 100, 0-2. And in both of those losses combined, as a result of not being able to run the football, 7 of 23 on third down because they faced longer
third
downs.
Sure, longer, yeah.
And they turned the ball over five times, plus
well,
they lost time of possession. So
there you
go.
Just
hammered it home. You got to stop the run.
Pretty much that's their M.O. And you know, if it's not broke, don't – if it's not – what's the term? If it's not broke,
don't fix it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And so – and listen, we're not talking – this is not rocket science. If I'm Steve Spagnuolo and I'm looking at the Cowboys offense, yes, okay, they're going to run the football. Well, how are we going to stop it? You know, those linebackers are going to have to – you know, the defensive linemen are going to have to get off of those nasty linemen and, you know, and stay in their gaps. And then those linebackers are going to have to fill. And, you know, so it'll be interesting. hopefully they run the ball, and because the game's at 8:30, we're doing the pre and the post game. We're going to be there all night, so maybe we get a 2-hour and 20-minute game. Lance.
Hey, that sounds good to me. They got to look out for the post game.
Forget about everybody. Yeah, just think about us.
It's more important about what time the post game.
We need our beauty sleep, and we have to get to bed before 2 o'clock in the morning.
Correct, because then we're going to be back here on Monday again.
So you know, I was a teammate of Jason Garrett. Maybe I think I still have his cell phone. Maybe I'll just call him and say, "Hey, Jason, just run the football so we can get out of here, please."
And you should also pass on maybe Joe's advice about how Brandon Carr should be running
across
the field,
the crossing
right.
patterns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Make sure he implements that game plan as well.
Well, good. I mean, if Dez Bryant comes across the middle, I think that Landon Collins, you know, hey, he's never been able to tackle. He's never had a chance to tackle Dez Bryant. I'm sure he'll sooner than later realize how good of a player he is, and they certainly have to pay attention to him.
Speaking of the safety position, real quick, and we'll get back to your phone calls in a second here. Steve Spagnuolo, Jeff, spoke to the media yesterday, the defensive coordinator, and he was asked about the safety position and the battles that went on during training camp. He seemed to indicate that Landon Collins obviously is penciled in as a starter, but that other position right now is up for grabs. And he's comfortable if they have to mix and match a little in the early stages of the season before they maybe solidify the two guys that they want to go with. And one of the lines he said, listen, in an ideal world, it would be great to have, hey, two starting safeties off the start of the season. We just ride that out.
Sure.
Sometimes, though, you have to pick and choose depending on the matchups and the personnel.
Well, it tells me that any of those other guys besides Landon Collins has not done enough to be able to for him to say you're the starter. So that's what's going to happen. And I know Steve Spagnuolo. I know the type of coach he is, that he's not going to put up with mental mistakes. So the other guy needs to be ready if the guy that's playing is making mistakes, because he will put him in a minute. He'll yank the other guy out. And he can do that because you saw how many different combinations of safeties we had in the preseason. So they've had those mixes and matches of guys that have played out there. So it's going to be Cooper Taylor, okay, he's going to be in there, or it's going to be Merriweather. One of those two guys is going to be starting at that other side of the field. But if one is not doing well, the other one's coming in quickly. And, you know, so it's kind of, to me, it's almost him saying that other position is up for grabs. Who wants it?
Yeah.
Who wants to be that other starting safety?
Go out and grab it.
Show me that you can play it in primetime, 8:30 Sunday night.
Absolutely. Let's head back to the phone lines. Brandon is in New York. Brandon, welcome aboard. What do you have?
What's up, Brandon?
Hey, fellas. How we doing? So I rarely disagree with anything that the Giants moves that they make. But one thing I can't understand is after watching the 2 or 3 preseason games,
you're going to say Marcus Kuhn, aren't you? You're going to say Marcus Kuhn.
But if you already asked
read
that,
people's
I haven't been watching.
We have our little crystal ball. We read people's minds here. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But watching the preseason games, you see Kuhn pretty much get handled by one guy. And then when Bromley or Ellis came in, completely stopped the run. So I don't understand why we let go of Ellis. And I do understand how the Giants are very conservative with their depth chart and not allowing people to move ahead of others, even if they have a higher skill set. Mm-hmm. So I understand that, but after, you know, watching Kuhn and then seeing Ellis, I just don't understand that one.
Well, you're not alone. I know there's a lot of people, and reading and hearing, you know, that was one of the big questions is why. When I'm not here, I try to stay up on what's going on, and I read the transcripts, and Coach Coughlin had mentioned about somebody asked him that question.
Correct, and Spags was asked, too. We'll read that in a second as well.
And, you know, I think they're excited about the progression of him, okay? He's getting better, and he's starting to fit in. You may not have seen it in the preseason. In fact, what you just said, we didn't. But they're football coaches. We're analysts. We're talk radio people. They know a lot more about it than we do. There's something there that they
don't
see in Marcus Kuhn.
Short, Jeff.
Well, I mean, come on. It's really. I mean, I punted in the National Football League. I never played defensive line. I never wanted to play defensive line. That means I would have been 300 pounds.
Would have been
good.
Tough to move around, yes.
I'm moving towards that 300 pounds more than I'm moving away from it. No, just kidding. But, I mean, there's something there that Marcus is doing, and, you know, the coaches made that decision. Sometimes it comes down to money. Sometimes it comes down to durability. Does the guy get hurt? This and that. But it's a question to be answered. And you know what? Only Marcus Kuhn can provide us with the answer there. And that is if he continues to get better and play better, then the answer would be, yeah, they kept the right guy.
Brandon, I'll let you continue here in a second. Just to expand on what Jeff said, Tom Coughlin emphasized he liked his footwork. He thinks he's made big-time progression on that. And I just want to read to the audience. Spags was asked about Marcus Kuhn and the upside that he sees in him. Actually, the exact question was, what has he done to earn your trust?
There you go.
Media asked this to Spags. This was his answer. Quote, look, I think the way the guy is made up, hard worker, where he came from, how he got here, that's a defensive tackle. He obviously works in the offseason. He's in great shape. He's done some real good things. We'll get him in there. We've got to get him in there and put him in the right spot at the right time. I love the guy. I love the way he works. I really do. End quote. Brandon, the floor is yours. What else did you have?
And then just two quick things. I want to know if Ellis got picked up by someone else. And then also, I think I'm really glad Bobby Hart made this team because I think eventually he's going to be a starter in the NFL.
Well, they want him to be.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what round was he, a third round?
Seventh round pick.
Seventh round.
Oh, seventh.
But, you know, when I was in Cincinnati watching him work against the Bengals in that practice, he looked good. He looked good against that defensive line that they was going against. You know, a seventh round guy is a guy that is going to have to continue to get better, and it's going to be 2 years, 3 years down the line. But, you know, he's a draft pick. And this Giants organization has to build through the draft. And he's one of those guys that they're hoping that can come around. And, you know, back on – I'm just going to real touch on Marcus. That quote by Spagnuolo tells me something. It tells me that maybe Kendrick Ellis wasn't that type of a player where he's a hard worker and this and that. And that you know, that type of work that Kuhn was doing was why he was kept on the team. Who knows? So what was your other – you said you had two left. What was the other one?
No, that was it.
Okay.
I just want to comment on that.
All right,
awesome.
Brandon,
well, thank you very much.
Call. Thanks so much for chiming in.
Exactly.
And the other thing that I wanted to add, and Jeff, you could speak to this considering you've been on a variety of different teams, and I was going to bring this up because the Cowboys have Darren McFadden listed as third on their running back depth chart. There's reports, though, that he's going to start Sunday. We don't know. Obviously, it's a mystery, but there are reports that he's going to be first up. So applying that rationale, the unofficial Giants depth chart, which is up online right now, you can't put a great deal of stock in it because we don't really know what's going to happen until we see
what
happens on Sunday.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, I have the unofficial depth chart, something that looks like this. Okay? And I look at it. Is there a law or a rule in the NFL that just because it's here doesn't mean it?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all – it can be hiding guys. It can be this and that. You know, you're right. Look at a guy like Jenkins. I mean, he's the starting defensive end, but who says that he's not going to start there? He comes inside. So it just goes to show you who's playing. That I bet 95% of it is accurate, but certainly doesn't matter if they come out and he's Kuhn's out of there or this or that. I mean, it can change. It also can change because of the inactives and who gets hurt during the end of the week or in pregame and matchups and this and that because – That's you know, on game day, we got the 48 active guys, and we see it all the time. When Lance and I are doing the pregame show, we get the inactives, and there's sometimes we look at it and go, wait a second. Why is he inactive? He practiced all week.
It's a numbers game.
It's a numbers game. You know, they got an injury maybe at the receiver position where they have to carry an extra guy that week. So it's all up in the air when it comes down to it. This is just to get people excited and get guys like us to talk about it.
Yeah, that's
really
what it does.
It really
sparks discussion. But, you know, you just mentioned, Jeff, just because somebody's a starter on the depth chart doesn't mean that they're going to get the majority of the snaps.
No.
And Spags, based on his track record, and he even mentioned this in yesterday's presser, he likes to utilize as many defensive linemen in a game as he can.
There's no question. And he's going to go into those games saying to Coach Goughlin, hey, these are the guys I want. Because he has a game plan,
I want them active.
I want them active because I like those fresh defensive linemen, just like every defensive coordinator does throughout the NFL. However, it goes back to what we just said. He may not be able to keep this guy because they got to carry an extra receiver because Victor Cruz is out of the lineup or whatever it is. So
give and take discussion.
Absolutely.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Christian is in New York. Christian, what's up?
Christian.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man.
Well, Christian, what do you have for us?
Well, I wanted to mention something about offense, and then I have a question for you.
Sure.
So, on offense, I noticed last year that if Beckham got like 5 or 6 catches in the first half, they would basically try to stop looking his way so much. And last year, in a lost season, I get that. You know, you do not want to gas the guy for no reason if it won't get you to the playoffs. But you know, I want to say, like, in Dallas, if he gets 5 or 6 catches in the first half, And then they make it a point to, you know, stop looking his way again like last year. And then, you know, you start having a couple three and outs. I really hope that, you know, they just keep looking his way. I mean, whatever, not to force the ball to him, but just, you know, don't get too conservative if you build a nice lead.
Well, what happens is, you know, that first half, you know, they got the way the game goes, then they go in and make adjustments at halftime. A lot of times it's a chess game. The defensive coordinators are saying, okay, listen, we got to start doing different things with this guy. And then they move, they offensively, Giants speaking, they come out of halftime and say, listen, we threw the ball here. They're starting to shade more to him. And now we're going to go win some. That's up to Eli. I mean, Eli can, he gets up to the line of scrimmage and he reads his coverages. And if those coverages are starting to be a little bit different than they were in the first half, then they're going to have to start adjusting. And that's a lot of times that's what happens is that the Cowboys, you know, if they're in this situation, they start paying more attention. But, you know what, that's good because that's going to leave an opportunity to some of those other guys, Shane Vereen and you know, Preston Parker, if Victor's not in there, and Reuben Randall and guys like that, they should start to get the share of the ball. So,
Christian, even if Beckham's not getting all the targets in the second half, what Jeff just pointed
taking
out,
away from him,
you're now still drawing attention your way. So, this, therefore, you should be opening up opportunities for other guys.
You
on
would
the
hope.
Field.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, I mean, other than the Seahawks game, I just noticed him still getting just as open. But I also noticed that Eli just—he wasn't necessarily the first read anymore. Not that he should be every play.
And again, but, that's coverage. I mean, that's when Eli gets up there and reads the coverage, and it's, you know, they're disguising it here and there, or they're actually showing it. That's what happens. So, what was your other comment? You said you had another one other comment.
Oh yeah, I have a question.
Question. Okay.
If you had to start a Giants running back in fantasy this week, who would both of you go with?
Wow. You know what? I would go with Shane Vereen, even though he's not the starting running back, but I just think he's going to get the touches with coming out of the backfield. And I'm not a huge fantasy guy, and I mean, I don't know. Listen, I'm going to talk like I am.
No, in a second, though, you are going to show people.
I am, and I do have some. I have some sleepers here. Okay, because I'm now going to be indoctrinated into the fantasy football world because we got DraftKings, who's one of our big sponsors, that we got to give some nuggets of information here. But to me, I think that Shane Vereen is going to be an integral part of this offense. And, you know, I don't know if it's – what's it called? A PPR league? Pass
PPR.
Per
Look
reception?
At you, see? Once again, selling
I mean,
yourself
I,
short.
I see
You
him.
Know a thing or two. You're just fooling the audience
yeah.
here, Jeff.
So,
PPR, not everybody can throw those big terms around.
So there's my answer. Take it for what it's worth.
Now, I'm going to differ with Jeff here.
Of course you are.
Just to spark some debate, Christian, I would lean towards Rashad Jennings for this opening game. Now, down the road, I think Vereen probably may be the more valuable running back because of what Jeff said, his ability to catch the football. But from what I saw in the preseason, and I go back to that 14-play, 85-yard drive that they had against the Jets where all three running backs were mixed in, I think Jennings, though, to start this season, still going to be the workhorse. And I think Jennings is probably going to be the first shot up at goal line carries, so I think he has a little bit more value here to start this season. Down the road, though, I think that could change.
There you go.
All right, because I own all three, so I needed a little advice for week one. So,
well, you know what? Call us back next week and tell me who's right. That's what I'd like
yes,
to know.
Exactly. We haven't settled this debate.
I'll let you know for sure.
Okay.
And don't forget, Christian, appreciate the phone call. Remember, Jennings also catches the ball out of the backfield,
too.
He does.
He does very well. Absolutely.
So he does have value in that regard. Now, speaking of that, I think we should hear your nuggets about
you want to hear? Okay.
I think this is the ideal time before we get back to the phone call.
A good segue
yes,
from fantasy football
segue.
Into
we
our DraftKings read. All right, so here we go. Hey, fans, here's my week one DraftKings value picks. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, they offer weekly fantasy football contests. No season-long commitment. And here's my week one lineup. Make sure you're sitting down for this, all right? My QB value pick this week is Ryan Tannehill, who should be in for a big day against Washington. Of course, last year, Washington gave up an average of 250 yards to opposing QBs, and also doesn't hurt that the Dolphins got Jordan Cameron in the offseason. So save money and take Ryan Tannehill at $7,400 and see some big passes out of him. My running back pick this week is Chris Ivory, due to the fact that there is still a big question mark at that QB position for the Jets. With that being said, Chris Ivory should get plenty of attempts, and also doesn't hurt that the Browns defense gave up the most yards to an opposing team's running backs last year. And at $4,100, I see Ivory as a cheap running back solution that will still maximize in points. And finally, my wide receiver pick this week is Demaryius Thomas, who should have a monster game. With the NFL being a passing league, and when you have future Hall of Famer Peyton Manning, throwing you the ball. I don't see how you can go wrong with that pick. I'm going big this week and spending my money on Thomas, listed at $9,100. And that's my DraftKings value pick for this week. To draft your own lineup, go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. So take them for what it's worth. We'll check them out next week and see how I did.
So Ryan Tannehill, Chris Ivory, Demaryius Thomas. Those are your three key players off of DraftKings this week.
And if I hit it big, then that means you hit it big.
And that also means that Jeff won't be hosting here on Monday because he'll be out spending his money as well.
Yeah,
so we can read it tonight on many fronts.
It's a lot of money in it, even though this is real dollars here. So, I get the fantasy football stuff, and it is amazing because it's so popular. I have four boys. We have a fantasy football, Fegels Fantasy Football League that we play in. And I must say that I won the league last year with my great knowledge of the game. So, these are great picks right here, guys.
So wait a minute. I got to ask more about this Fantasy Fegels League here.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
How many people are in the league, though?
There's five of us.
Just five?
It's just the Fegels boys.
You must have loaded teams, though. That's unfair. I mean, what do you got, like Dez Bryant and Odell Beckham on the same team?
There's no money involved in the Fegels
Fantasy League. Okay, so it's bragging rights.
It's all bragging rights. And, I mean, listen, if you're the old man in the group and you win the league, you still set precedence in the way that the families. I'm the leader, so I got to win.
Of course.
You know, I think I had it wrapped up before the last week of the season. There was no way that I could lose.
So it wasn't in doubt?
No, there was never in doubt.
Well, but if there's five in the league, then how do you have even matchups every week? How does this work?
Listen, do we have to go into the? I mean, now we're into
I'm
the rules and regulations of what?
Yes.
What does it matter? You cannot have five.
Well,
I don't get it.
How can you
have
five
to be an even
teams?
Number?
Well, you've got to, it's head-to-head matchups, or it's
four.
Just total
oh no,
points.
there was a total point.
Oh, so yeah. you didn't lay out the land of the law here.
Well, there's only like
the
75 million ways to play fantasy football. We picked our own.
Okay, so you have five teams, and it's just whoever has
it's
the
all
highest
points.
Point total
exactly.
Every week wins.
That's
okay.
It. Yep.
That's understandable.
There it is.
Now it makes sense.
Yep, that's what
I was thinking. Head-to-head matchups
and I will tell you that they're and I think we had two leagues going where one of them was total points because we had an odd number. Now it's coming back to me. The other week was there was a bye. Somebody had 1 week off because then it would be two, you know, we would have the conference.
Makes sense. So you alternate the bye week.
Right.
No, all right. So you
and
the
by the way
trade down.
By the way, this is the funny part about this. We didn't do a draft. We auto picked the draft.
So you just had the computer do
no,
that.
No, we did, and then we traded.
Oh, then
and
you
we
traded.
Can do,
okay.
And we can do the kind of stuff.
What was there, like a two-week period of trading? Because I can imagine most of you probably weren't too content with the computer.
Now we're getting really deep into
yes.
the conversation
okay.
about the rules of two-week trading. I don't know what it is. All I know is that I won, and that's all I care
well,
about.
I'm now invested
board.
In this league. I got to find out more about this.
Well, if we have – maybe we'll bring you in.
Yeah,
then we'll have
say,
an even six.
Can I be welcomed into the Fegel Family Fantasy
why not?
Contest, I'd be more than happy to throw my
I would
out.
Love to have you in our league
go.
With us.
Absolutely. 201-939-4513. Shakes is in Maryland. Shakes, what's happening?
Shakes, what's up, man?
What's going on, Lance? What's going on, Jeff?
Do well, Shakes.
We're here, buddy. We're here with you. What you got for us today? Come to something good, huh? Something good. Give me some substance.
Well, I got a lot for you, so just, you know, bear with me for a second.
All right. Uh-oh. All right.
All right. Now, for the worthless defensive tackle, because I refuse to say his name anymore.
We've already gone over that.
We're still on this topic. But anyway, continue.
Okay. The worthless defensive tackle. What the coaches said about him.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay.
But it don't warrant a start. That's all I'm going to say about that. It don't warrant for him to be out there in the base defense. That's it.
Okay.
And to the blind optimist out there. the one that told me to don't watch Sunday,
yeah.
Because of how I feel. Listen, let me break something down to y'all.
Okay.
If I didn't care, I wouldn't say nothing. The fact I am going to watch Sunday. The fact that I may need some Pepto Bismol watching it.
Oh, Shakes.
Okay.
Hopefully you're watching at home.
So, yeah. So don't tell me not to watch. I'm going to watch.
Of course you're
going
to watch.
Nobody doubted that, Shakes.
Right now.
Well, but Shakes, who's okay. ever doubting you watching the game? Whoever threw
no,
that
no, no. It was somebody that said, well, if you don't think it's we're going to have a good season and all that, blah, blah, blah.
I ain't
going
to watch. Yeah. Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well,
you gotta
that's
watch.
My answer to that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got some questions for y'all. And one specifically for you, Fegels.
All right. Bring it on.
My first question is not to you, though.
Okay.
Uh-oh. See, he specified. It's coming later. He teases his own phone call.
He teases the own one.
It's tremendous.
That means you're going to leave the easy one for later. Okay.
This is the quality of the program on his own show, The Shakedown, and now he brings that material
and
to
that brings
show.
Us to the new, our new Shakedown section of the show. All right, Shay.
So here's question number one.
I've been seeing the reports all morning. We've seen it yesterday. We've seen it all morning, and I just seen it on ESPN just now. They just reported it. Eli Manning, $84 million extension deal, 4 years, $65 million guarantee. Mm-hmm. My question for that is, do y'all think that's a fair deal?
Lance?
Well, nothing is official, Shakes, as you know. All of the things you just referred to are based on reports. The Giants haven't made anything official in terms of length, money, and so forth, nor do they usually release financial terms. So as far as our perspective is concerned, clearly we've heard the reports like you have, and I'm sure that they're going to come to some finalization of it in the next coming days or hours. But at this point, it's hard to comment on something that's not official, at least from the team perspective.
Okay, I think y'all late to the party. I think it's finalized, but
well, wait a second.
We're
doing our show in here, man. There's somebody that's working right now, and we don't have the screens in front of us, so don't put us out in the cold yet.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, we'll get to it. I mean, Lance has got this 1984 computer over here. He'll get to it eventually on dial up.
Right. My internet only works so quickly, so I'm playing catch.
Just for conversation's sake, do y'all think it's a fair deal?
Listen, I'll tell you one thing about Eli Manning, all right? I mean, the guy does not miss games, okay? We can get into the Super Bowl MVPs and this and that. And you look at the guy, the going rate for quarterbacks, whatever it is, whatever he's slotted in and this and that, there's obviously a reason that teams are paying franchise quarterbacks that. He is a franchise quarterback for the Giant. If they get him in, how many years of extension for it, the guy's going to be a Giant forever. Probably the best quarterback in the history of the New York Giants. I mean, whatever money they're going to give him, he's well deserving of it because of how he slots in with everybody else. And listen, if Giants fans should be happy that they have Eli Manning at the helm, because the guy, like I said, he does not miss football games. And when Shakes, when your starting quarterback goes down, the quality of the play behind those guys is nothing near what it is. So, to me, that would be my answer to Eli Manning. I think that, congratulations. If it got done, whatever he got is great. But, it's not going to affect Eli. Are you kidding me? I don't care how much money he's going to get. He's got enough money. The fact is that he just wants to be a Giant for the rest of his life, and that's great.
And that's what I want.
Shakes, the one thing I'll add to that, I think Jeff brought up a good point. You need continuity under center in this league, no matter what team you have. And if you look at the landscape right now, there's more than half the teams in the NFL that would take Eli Manning in a heartbeat. So when you have a quarterback, the priority is to make sure that that quarterback stays healthy and that you have him for years to come. Eli's proven the durability department because, as Jeff just mentioned, has never missed a game since he took over as the starting quarterback, and certainly his resume speaks for itself. So those factors out there compared to the other quarterbacks in this league, it's a no-brainer that you invest in Eli Manning.
Yep.
No doubt. All right, two quick last questions.
He's
going to get to that last. Save that for last, Shakes.
This question is important, though. It pertains to Sunday night. And I want to know, because I think that we need to pass to set up the run, because I don't think their DBs can hold up with our receivers. So I think we need to pass to set up the run. But my question is, do y'all think we need to pass to set up the run or run to set up the pass? And Spiegels, my question for you is this new punter from Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Have you seen him practice? And what do you like about him?
Okay, I did see him practice.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Chase. Have a good one, man. We'll speak to you next week.
Listen, I don't want to bore everybody with punting news because I think we like people to watch our program. But I did see him practice the first day he got here. I know he was a little bit nervous. It's taking him a little bit of time to get used to a new snapper, rhythm, coaching staff, that kind of stuff. But in speaking with Larry Izzo and Tom Quinn just before the show here, I asked him about him. He said he's gotten better as the week's gone by. What I do like about him is that he's a young guy. He's a worker. He's going to go out there and work on his skill and his trade, and I think that'll go well. He is a young guy, so we have to understand that there's going to be some young guy mistakes. And, he's not going to be knocking that ball out of bounds constantly and this and that. You're going to get eventually get the ball that's going to put down the middle of the field. But they're trying to work on him directional kicking, and that's something they want out of that position, whether it was Steve or now it's Brad Wing. Whoever it is going to have to be able to put that ball where they want it with direction, hang time, and distance. All three of those categories, they need to be consistent with it. So we'll see what happens.
A lot of people on Twitter actually wanted your take on the punters, so I'm glad that you were able to address
that.
Well,
there you go.
I had my own follow-up question here, because now you have me interested. No, I'm more
it's
curious.
Amazing.
Yes, I'm more curious actually from the holding perspective, because that process, how much time do you need for everybody to get on the same page?
You need a week. I mean, you know, and it gets a little amped up because he's new. But Josh Brown is a veteran, okay? And you know what? Brad Wing's been holding for a while. As long as the ball – and you have a veteran snapper that – the holding position is pretty simple, guys. When you think – if you have a snapper that can snap it consistently where the laces – now I sound like
now you're
Ace
really
Ventura.
Here.
Ace Ventura, laces out, Ray Finkel.
There you go.
But if the laces are if the laces are coming back –
a demonstration.
Okay, and I catch that ball and see where these laces are, all I have to do is take it and put it down. Okay, that's not that difficult. And Zach DiAssi is a Pro Bowler. He's been in the league enough. He can put it there. So it just takes a little bit of timing with Brad and Josh. The other thing is that all the kickers are different. Some guys like the ball straight up and down. Some guys like it with a little bit of a tilt. So in Pittsburgh, whoever their field goal kicker was, Brad was maybe might have been holding it like this. Well, now he's got to just get used to maybe tilting it a little bit for Josh. So that's the kind of the adjustment that it comes in. And it takes about a week. But they rep it and they rep it and they rep it. And it'll get continuously get better. But the snapper makes the holder job really easy if you have a really good snapper. If you have a snapper that's putting the ball and I'm catching it like this and the laces are back, that means I'm spinning the ball, and sometimes that ball is spinning when the ball is kicked, and that's where you get the bad kick. So I think Brad would do a nice job. But to answer your question, Lance, it's not that difficult.
So you said about a week. What's the differentiation as the football hopefully cooperates? Might as well leave it there. What's the differentiation to have the ball straight up versus the tilt?
It just depends on how the guys, the kicker, how he puts his foot on the ball. Sometimes guys need a little bit more of their toe, if it's tilted, they get a little bit more underneath here. If it's like this, it just depends on the angle of the foot that comes in. Some guys need it a little bit different. Some guys even like it forward. The hard thing from a kicking and holding and snapping position is that when you have to switch from a right-footed kicker to a left-footed kicker, and that is a nightmare. And sometimes I've had it happen where the team that I was with had to make a change at the kicking position, and there wasn't a good enough right-footed kicker, so they had to go get a left-footed kicker. Oh, now, that takes more time because everything is opposite. I'm lining up on the right. Now I'm lining up on the left. So it's all, to compare, it would be asking you, if you're a right-handed hitter, I now want you to go and hit left-handed. It takes a little bit more, so it's more of a rep and timing thing as it is. And catching left-handed was your hand now has to be here. It's a nightmare.
Guide hand changes.
And I couldn't believe it when they brought me in on a Tuesday and said, hey, we want you to hold for the field goal kickers. And I said, great. And I get out there, and there's two left-footers and one right. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Why are you killing me here?
Really? Is there not any other right-footed kickers out there? Do you realize that
of all the guys that ought to kick in NFL football, you had to bring in the two lefties.
The two lefties, right? And the other thing, I'll never forget, I know that we're getting off topic a little bit, but Jay Alford, remember Jay?
Yeah.
He came in as a rookie, and he was a snapper. But the first time we got in training camp, actually it was in mini camp, we got out there kicking field goals, and nobody told me that he was left-handed. And nobody told me, left-handed, remember, if you're right-handed, the ball comes this way. If you're left-handed, the ball comes this way. So I got back there the first time, and I went to catch a snap, and it went right through my hands, not to mention how fast he snapped it. And I stood up, and I said, dude, are you left-handed? He says, yeah, man, I'm left-handed. I'm like, well, thanks for telling me, because the ball is going the opposite way. And it's like, ugh! Plus, he was strong, man. I had to tell him, like, dude, you need to calm it down a little bit. You're like throwing a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. I'm used to, like, 85. You got to throw me a changeup, you know? So that's just some little stupid things from holding kicking position. So
the nuances of the kicking game. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. It's a tough job. I mean, holding is a thankless job, really. When's the last time you hear of anybody from the holding unless you screw it up?
Yeah.
you drop the snap or, you know, and listen, we're not the greatest athletes, even though I'm probably a better athlete than most of the holders around the league back then.
But yes.
When something bad happens at that position, it's not fun.
Well,
it's
you did attempt a pass during your
I attempted
career,
many passes. So. Yeah. And runs.
Yes.
And
now, most of those were by design, though, we should mention. That was not because of a screw-up. We need to emphasize that here on Big
yeah.
Kickoff Live.
On an extra point, you might as well just forget about it because it's over, you know. Because I've seen all the times, you know, there's times when in the NFL, these guys on extra points, there's, you know, they're botting, they don't get the kickoff, and they freak out. It's like, dude, it's dead. You're not going to make the – you're not running for two. I'm not running for 2 points.
No, not at all.
Flag
you
up.
You want to live to see tomorrow.
Time out. It's over.
It's over. Move on.
Leave me alone.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. We'll get to more of your tweets at hashtag Giants Chat. Jason is in California. Jason, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, Lance, Adrian, Jeff?
Good
doing
morning.
Well, Jason.
Good
what's
morning.
You?
You know, so we say good morning to you because you're out way out west. So.
Yes, I am. Hey, I know Tom Coughlin is not one, if you look at the percentages, of doing trick plays or going for 2 points. Now with the keeping it with field goals and so on, now that we have a little more room, do you think he's going to be more up to going for two? And by what percentage this year? Just hypothetical.
I don't think, you know, if they move, if the ball was moved to the 1 yard line, then I think there'd be more teams that would try to go for, but we're not, nothing's different in that aspect. The ball is, you know, it would still be on the 2 yard line if they're going to go for 2 points. So it's still the same. The preseason statistics, I think it was 97% was what the preseason stats were for the field goals or extra points this year. Down from 99.8. So, I think that people have mentioned that once the season gets in the latter parts of it with the weather, it's going to come to effect on the kicking portion of it. And if there is a bad weather game where that 33-yard field goal – is it 33? What's the extra point? 33, right?
Well, it's from the 15. So,
15.
Yeah,
so
it's about a 32, 33.
33 yard. And wind is in effect and weather, then maybe you see them go for two because the field goal might be too much. But I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I really don't. And you know, I think that it's the coaches are just, they're so routine, the fact that, you know what, just kick the extra point. Let's go, you know.
And, Jason, the other thing is the numbers show, and I understand you alluded to the rule changes, but Coughlin and company have barely gone for two-point conversions during his tenure here. They didn't have any attempts last season. I'm looking at the numbers, and in the last 3 years, very few. You know, a very small number,
right.
One attempt here or there. So I don't really think that's going to drastically change just because
yeah.
they shook things up in the rule book.
Yeah, you don't think he'll catch him with the pants down and go for two because he's not one to normally go for that?
Well, I think as Jeff mentioned, as the weather gets colder and perhaps it's not an ideal situation, you know, maybe the tone of the game dictates you now try to get creative and go for two, but I don't think it's going to be a trend for the Giants, especially in the early goings when the weather's ideal right now.
Plus, I tell you what, the biggest factor in this extra point is going to be wind. There's times when, you know, the old Meadowlands where you couldn't kick a 25 or 30 yard field goal because the wind was so bad. So in that instance, you're better off. Your chances from the 2 yard line are better than trying to make a 33 yard field goal. So I think that's probably where you're going to see the difference.
All right. Well, love your show. And I'll keep listening all season long. Keep it going, guys. You're doing really good.
Thanks so much, Jason. Appreciate
it. Thanks
for watching. Thanks for listening. Let's head back to the phone lines here as we move along here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. And we check in with Charlie in Maine, though we're probably going to regret this phone call. Charlie, what's happening?
Hey, gentlemen.
How are you
doing? That last segment, I recorded it, and I think it can be used for people with insomnia. I think it will really help just talking, you know, just having the whole thing about kicking and
hey, listen,
holding
as
the
long,
ball.
As long as we can help people go to sleep, I'm all for it.
And Charlie,
we're gonna
now record your phone call, and you're gonna have the same effect.
Yeah.
So there we go. We'll alternate. Second.
Be version two of the insomnia collection.
Hey, what I don't understand is this, Jeff.
Is this the only thing that you don't understand that you're gonna ask me?
No.
Okay.
Listen, I don't understand. We spent a lot of money on getting, you know, trying to, you know, make our special teams better and, you know, getting Harris and, you know, trying to get better special teams because we've been terrible at it.
Okay.
And then what do? We let go of a veteran punter,
mm-hmm.
who is a good punter, a tough guy, never missed a game, played last year with almost a broken ankle the whole year, and we bring in lesser talent, bring in this young kid, and you were just talking about it. Yeah, he's getting a little better, and, you know, he's working it out. And we spend all that money, then we bring in this untested punter. I don't get that. Why?
Well, I think that, you know,
if we brought in Fields, who's a Pro Bowl punter, then I'd say, okay, we got better talent, you know, then that would be understandable. But I don't understand this.
Well, there a lot of times, you know, there's the economics of it. Okay, you're getting a $2.5 million cap space differential from what he's making and what Steve was going to make. The other thing is the fact that Tom Coughlin is adamant about where he wants the football. Okay, this young kid he can kick directionally. He gets good hang time. He's an Australian kicker. He can have, you know, what happened with Steve was the fact that he's, you know, he was having a hard time with the direction. And when you have a coverage team, when you call a right kick and everybody is running to the right and the ball goes down the middle or to the left, that's going to be trouble. And what's happening is they're trying to find somebody and they're hoping they get it out of Brad Wing is to get the direction down to where the ball is supposed to be. Okay, if that doesn't happen, they got the veteran guys they can go to. Like you said, Brandon Fields, you know, he's a big-legged guy, but he can give you direction. You know, the other thing with Harris is we got to get something out of these return teams. A couple years ago, the Giants led the league, I believe, in kickoff returns. Okay, the fact is that we need to have a returner, the Giants do, like Harris, and make a big play in the punt return. Get us a first down. That's what we want out of the special teams punt return. Get us a first down. Get us one more first down for the offense. Historically, as you know, being a Giants fan, the Giants have not had a good returner since basically
Dominic Hickson was one of the most notable guys.
Meggett, I mean, he was the guy, right? And, when I came to the Giants, they brought in Brian Mitchell, and he got hurt. He didn't do anything, and we've been looking. I mean, listen, Hickson was good, but he just, you know, he couldn't stay on the field. We've got to get something out of that return game, and I'm telling you, if Tom Coughlin was sitting in this seat right now, he'd tell you the same thing. I got to get something out of the punt return game, and that's why they have Dwayne Harris here. They really do.
No, I'm glad they got Harris. No, I mean, that was my question. I saw what they're trying to do to build, and I just thought of getting rid of a veteran punter to bring in somebody who's untested, to me, didn't make sense. But, and another, you know, just this other thing is, I mean, Jeff, you've been in, you know, you've played and you've seen it. Why is Coughlin so enamored with practice players and he's not enamored with guys who can actually play on Sunday, Thursday, and Monday? You know, it's just like he always wants these Pro Bowl practice players like Coon, but he can't play on the game day. And there's other guys who maybe aren't great practice players, but they show up. You know, they're the 100-watt light bulb when the game's on. They might be a 25 light bulb during practice. But he'd rather have the 100-watt light bulb at practice, and then they go play in their 25-watt light bulb. I don't understand that.
Yeah. Well,
you know?
You've
seen players that are like that. They just don't practice great or well.
Sure.
But they play.
Well, I've also seen what we call the East Rutherford All-Americans, the guy that's actually do well in practice but don't do anything in the game. You know,
that's
I think with the practice squad guys, they're the developmental guys. And you know what? As those guys start to develop, these coaches see something that they like in practice. And, you know, the last couple of years with the Giants not being that good have given these guys a shot to try to prove that they can be on a 53-man roster. And they're bringing the guys up and – you know, a lot of them get shoved right back down, but some of them go on to be good. So I don't know what to tell you. Other than be patient.
Me?
What can we say to you, right? More than that? Yeah. So
Charlie can't sit still for about a second. And this is the guy you tell him to be patient.
No, I understand. I'm hoping that Sunday night, we beat these guys and shut up the Cowboys fans because they think they're going to the Super Bowl this year.
Fine, they think they're going every year.
Cakewalk.
They think they're going every year just like everybody else does. But I tell you what, I'm just as interested as you are to see this 2015 Giants football team go on the road and what I want to see what they got. We didn't see anything in preseason, and that's for a couple reasons. Number one, it was a horrible season preseason for injuries. The second thing is there's no game planning in preseason. Okay, a lot of guys are holding back. Let's see what Ben McAdoo and Steve Spagnuolo's got underneath their sleeves here and come up with a game plan to beat the Cowboys on the road 7:30, 8:30 on Sunday night, you know? And listen, I will tell you this. As many years as I played in the National Football League, you get up for games like this, especially against the Cowboys and the Giants rivalry. It is special, and I'll tell you what. The veterans are going to have to go down there and teach these young guys what it's like to go into Dallas Stadium or whatever the hell the place is called, AT&T Park Stadium. Or whatever, and let them understand what this rivalry means and come out with a win up there and do everything they can. I mean, scrap, do whatever you can to beat the Cowboys and put them in their place.
Yeah. You know, if we don't beat ourselves, we'll beat them.
No question.
And the only other thing I'm going to say, I hope they have Jake Long on speed dial, because we're going to need him next week. So,
Charlie, come on.
It's amazing. The guy goes from an optimistic perspective. In 2 seconds, he starts to speculate about next
week. Did you ever hear the thing, let's end on a high note? Huh? You're not in it.
Cliche was thrown out of his book a long time ago.
All right, Charlie. Have a good one.
All right, Charlie.
Good talking to you.
Thanks so much.
Man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy.
Charlie Wayne and...
Hey, listen, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Absolutely.
That's why they love Big Blue Kickoff Live, because they can bring their opinions here, and we don't judge people. We just try to degrade them down to where we can get them to believe what
we want
to believe.
Yes, we try to steer them and twist and turn.
All right, Charlie.
Let's close out the program with a few tweets here. We're getting some questions. And actually, Shakes brought up a question which is related to what Charlie G, this is not Charlie from Maine, at G68_Charlie, will the Giants run the ball more, or will we see more air it out from Eli Manning in this contest?
I think that the Giants try to establish the run first. I think that's the most importantly, and everything else will dictate itself from that, okay? If they abandon the run, then they're going to go to the pass. I think it also comes in with the personnel that they have in the passing game. Will Victor Cruz be starting? Will he play? Will Preston Parker? How are the coverage? But I think they start off by running the football, establishing the line of scrimmage and the physical part of it. If they can't get it done, then, of course, they have to go to the passing game. But, you know, the Giants, they can come back to it. And, you know, to me, you get those linemen to play and do what they're supposed to do and get the running game going. What I don't want to see on the road is second and long. That play to me hurts the most. The second and nine, the second and 10, because the defense now dictates what you can do. Give me a second down and 6, second down and 5. Then it's in the offensive hands, in my opinion, because now the defense, they can run the ball again or they can pass it and then bring up a third and short and just convert those third down conversions. But you start off by running the football.
On paper.
This paper?
On that paper, exactly. It looks like a more attractive matchup for the Giants offense against the Cowboys secondary. Why? Because Orlando Scandrick, their top corner, is out for the season, torn ACL and MCL. Morris Claiborne, who missed the majority of last season with Victor Cruz's injury, he's coming in on the outside. They've got a second-year player in the slot. So you would look at this group on paper, Jeff, and you would say, hey, Eli Manning should throw the ball 40 to 45 times. However, you still need balance, and that's what the Giants' goal has been all offseason. It may be more attractive to throw the ball in this game, but you're going to need the run to set up that passing.
And I agree, but I think you start off by trying to, you know, the tempo of the game, and, you know, it's your will against that guy's will, and you got to get that offensive line to say, listen, you know what, we're going to scrap this game. We're going to run the football, and then we can dictate the pass from there, okay? And you're right. It does set up well, but you know what? In the National Football League, you can't have your quarterback dropping back 50 times.
Turnovers,
okay?
Increase.
And the other thing is if you can't run the football and somehow, some way you're winning the football game in the fourth quarter, you can't come out and keep throwing the football. You got to make first downs and take the clock down.
Yeah.
So, but yes, and I think that both sides of the football predicated itself on they both can pass against these two teams. So I think that's going to be a high-scoring game. I did not see much in preseason to show me that the defense for the Giants can stop, you know, a good passing game. I know that it was preseason, but I got to see more out of those linebackers in the safety position and get some pressure on the quarterback, because we know the Romo will make mistakes if we get pressure on him. Okay, so those defensive linemen got to get after it. They got to get pressure, and then you got DRC and Prince to shut down their receivers. That could be a good formula to win. It's so easy, right? That's so
absolutely
easy.
Battle it's, in the trenches. Yeah, just, that's just, what it comes down to.
Exactly. So. Great show.
Absolutely,
great show.
Jeff.
Thanks
always
for all
pleasure.
The calls today.
Indeed.
It was good.
Appreciate all the calls, all the tweets, and we will be back up and running on Monday. Jeff and I will be back. We'll fully recap this contest. We'll take your phone calls. So, Charlie, save the pessimism for Monday, okay, because we know how lovely a personality you are when it comes to setting the tone. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. We'll speak to you on Monday. Enjoy the game. Sunday Night Football, Giants, Cowboys. Jeff and I will have pregame starting at 6:30 on WFAN, as well as all Giants Radio Network affiliates. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a good one.
All right, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!